All right, so we're going to do 2 weeks of more practical Christianity. One's going to be on knowledge. The other one's going to be on self-control. Unless I can talk Ryan into doing the one about Christianity and finances, if I could talk him into that, we might do that. Nice. So these are things in your Christian toolbox, all right? Forgive me for using the male analogy, the male illustration, the Christian toolbox. So one thing you need to have in your Christian toolbox is knowledge, and another one is self-control. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. It's funny, I didn't give the reference there. I should have. Hebrews 5. Talking about becoming mature. Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14. We have much to say about this. Oops, am I going too fast? Sorry about that. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. By the way, I'm not saying this is you. I'm just reading the scripture, all right? If it applies, it applies. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Amen? Got it? All right. Someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So he's talking about being mature, and he's talking about two different areas. One, he said, by now you ought to know the scriptures. By now you ought to be teachers. All right, now we've got some people who have not been in the faith for very long, so take this as not an admonition to you for where you ought to be right now, but an admonition for you to where you ought to be headed. All right? So that's good. Hebrews, by the way, is written primarily to more mature believers. All right, so if you're a younger believer, some of the stuff in Hebrews you can kind of like, all right. That's those more mature people. But nevertheless, everything there applies to us. All right, so basically then he says, by now you ought to be teachers. You ought to know the scriptures. You ought to be thoroughly immersed in understanding the scripture. And also, solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's going to be that self-control component that we're going to do next week. All right, great. Next slide. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Another scripture about growing up, about becoming mature. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who here wants to be effective and productive in their knowledge of Jesus Christ? If you didn't want that, you wouldn't come here tonight. And what are two things, highlighted in yellow, what are two things that are necessary and conducive to becoming productive and effective in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Knowledge and self-control. So tonight we're going to talk about knowledge. Okay? So knowledge, to me, knowledge is like, it's like this thing. Right? Francisco knows what one of these things are, right? Hey. Do you have one of these things in your house? Yeah. Right, it's like a toolbox. So these are the bolts. These are the bolts. You see, these are the screws. And we got, these nail things. And these are the ones that you put behind it, you know, anchor things. We got this other kind of anchor thing. And we got these screw things, and we got nuts and washers, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to think of the Bible kind of like this, right? These are the things that without, you know, you've got to have these things available. And, it, you know, that's sort of a guy thing, having one of those things, you know. It's kind of, I'm sure some girls do as well. I don't want to be too sexist here, but I think it's mostly a guy thing. So, Proverbs 10, verse 4. That's our, sort of our main scripture, our kind of our take-home scripture from tonight. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Uh-oh. This is, wow. Oh, no wonder. Proverbs 10, 14. Fix that. Proverbs 10, 14. I mean, Proverbs 10, verse 4 is great, but it really has nothing to do with the lesson tonight. Says, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. So the admonishment from the writer of Proverbs, whoever the writer of this particular Proverbs is that we need to store up knowledge. And there's different kinds of knowledge. There's different kinds of knowledge. You know, there's this kind of knowledge, whatever that is. And then there's this one. Oh, these are lag bolts, right? Is that what these are lag bolts? I think so. And then what do we have here? Oh yeah. You gotta have one of these things. Yeah, actually, I don't know what that thing is, but nah. Alright. So wise men and women store up knowledge. Knowledge about God. Knowledge about God's Word. And just knowledge in general. Wisdom is a useful thing. And even wisdom about things of the world. Knowledge is kind of like, it's like that thing with a lot of drawers. You never know when you're going to want to use it. So basically the writer of Proverbs says, wise people store up knowledge. And you're young. Now's the time to begin storing up knowledge because they will be useful to you as you move along in life. All right, but I want to talk specifically storing up knowledge about the scriptures, about the Bible itself. So I want to talk about that. All right, so I want to talk about knowledge of the things in the Bible. And in order to store up knowledge about the scriptures, it's going to take two things. Number one, a real strong commitment. And number two, hard work. How many people like hard work? All right, Andres likes hard work. Yes, most of us avoid hard work. But I'm telling you, if you want to have a deep, abiding, useful knowledge of Christ, if you want to sort of build up that toolbox, there's no way around it. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take focused energy. Amen? So I've got a 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got a 5-part outline on how we can grow in our knowledge specifically of the scriptures. Okay? So I want to start in Luke 10:27. Alright, you'll start in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. I had a friend once who decided to do a 4-week thing. So she said the first week, she's going to really, really focus on loving God with all of her heart. The second week, she said, I'm gonna focus on loving God with all my, soul. I don't know how, that was hard to figure out how to do that, honestly. And then with all of her strength and with all of her mind. Alright, and so in order to really learn God's Word, we have to be prepared to think. Alright, D Do you spend time thinking about the scriptures? That's what, to me, loving God with all my mind requires thinking. It requires contemplating. It requires asking questions. Now, I know people who've been a Christian for 25 or 30 years. And you can ask them fairly basic questions about the Bible, and they seem to not know the answer. For example, what is the theme of the book of Amos? Now, you young people, if you don't know that, you've got every excuse for not knowing that. Everyone, there's no reason you should know that. But remember in Hebrews, he said, by now you ought to be teachers, right? By now you ought to be teachers. So by now, Francisco should know the answer to that question. By now, Michael should know the answer to that question. By now, Jan should know the answer to that question. Okay?
I know the answer.
Okay, what's the answer?
Prophet Amos was talking to the Israelites and kind of rebuking them for their religiosity, but they're far from God.
Yeah, their lack of social justice. He says, let justice roll on like a river. All right? Yeah, their lack of social justice. They're putting their own wealth and their own material prosperity in front of God. That's the theme. All right? And so, bottom line is, we need to spend time thinking. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired.
Yeah.
All right? And so, for example, your students. And you put hours and hours, I hope, going to class, studying, doing homework. Do you also have a quiet time?
Yeah.
Do you also have a time in the scriptures daily? Do you?
Yes.
All right. I hope so. That's a spiritual discipline. All right. But, you know, sometimes I think what we do is this is our quiet time. All right. Here we go. Great. First Chronicles 2. Or they'll just the scripture of the day. You know, I don't know. There's all these things, the scripture of the day. Just read the scripture of the day. Okay, great. I don't think you're going to learn much from that. I really don't think you're going to learn much from that. You know, we need to have goals. All right? In 1 Timothy 1, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone to ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And a lot of times, what will happen is you'll be thinking, and somebody will come up with a question about the Bible, and you don't know how to answer it. And what's the tempting thing to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, whatever. My suggestion is, keep a list. Keep a list of all those unanswered questions. What's going to happen is for the first few months, that list is going to get kind of scarily long. But eventually, you'll start checking off the ones you found the answer to. And you get stubborn about it. So for a while, that list will get longer and longer and longer. Eventually, that list will get shorter and shorter and shorter. And like it says in Proverbs, the scripture that we already read, Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge. We can't afford to be lazy intellectual. We already read Hebrews 5:11-15. It says, by now you should be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths all over again. Keep a list of difficult questions and do the research. All right? And then have a plan. I say we should have a plan. And I'll talk about that in point number 4 when we get there. All right? And so my question is, do you put significant intellectual, mental, thinking energy on a daily basis into knowing God's Word? And by the way, if you have one off day, it's okay. If you have one off day in a week, that's fine. Even 2 off days in a week. Because if you continue to do this over years and years, your knowledge of the Bible will grow and grow and grow. All right, and, you know, I've been a Christian for, you know, about going on, I don't know, 45 years, something like that. And I'm starting to kind of know a few things, you know what I'm saying? That's because I've been working hard. I think of it as kind of like a marriage. You know, by the way, so I've been a Christian. I've had roughly 10,000 quiet times, give or take a couple thousand. All right, and imagine if you had Cheerios every day, 12,000 days in a row.
Wow.
What would you think about Cheerios? They'd be boring. And it's a lot like marriage. You know, Jan, she's been I've had the same wife now for 39 going on 40 years. That could get really boring. It could. All right? And so you have to spice it up. You have to do something. We have to, do different things. And I'm going to give you some practical advice about that. Okay? All right? So are you putting significant mental energy? Are you loving God with all your mind? Or are you kind of lazy in your approach to knowing God's word? Just putting in some time. All right? Point number two in our outline of growing in our knowledge of the scriptures is to have the Psalm 119 attitude. All right, let's read together a few of the Psalms, a few of the verses in Psalm 119. Oh, if only we could have David's attitude about the scriptures. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Psalm 119, verse 97. He says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Now, I don't think he literally meditated on the scriptures, 16 hours a day. But meditating on the scriptures was something that David did. Why? Because he loved the scriptures. He loved the Bible. Now, in order to meditate on the scriptures, what would be a prerequisite for being able to meditate on the scriptures? Reading them, but what else?
Memorizing.
All right? Have you begun memorizing scriptures? One. Okay. Well then, again, not to pick on you in particular, but how are you going to meditate on the scriptures if you don't know the scriptures? When I was a young Christian, I had a pile of index cards about this high, and every week I'd memorize a couple more scriptures.
Nice.
And if you did that for a couple of years, you'd have, about 200 scriptures memorized. Right? Yeah. And I, probably every single one of those scriptures that I memorized 40-something years ago, I still know by heart. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. And if I don't know them completely, I'm pretty close to knowing them. All right? For example, Psalm 119, whatever, how can a young man keep himself pure? By guarding it according to your word. Amen? All right, Psalm 119, 72. Again, what we're talking about is knowledge, growing in knowledge this week, self-control next week. Knowledge of what? All right, we talk about knowledge of God, knowledge of just the world, but tonight we're talking about knowledge of the scriptures. All right, and so point number two, having the David's Psalm 119 attitude, Psalm 119:72. Which says, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. I don't know. Let's say you had thousands of pieces of silver and thousands of pieces of gold. What's a typical piece of gold worth nowadays?
Well, gold is actually devalued a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's only $2,000 an ounce. All right. All right. So your U.S. $20 gold coin of, of the 1912 or whatever is now worth probably $500 or $1,000. All right? So, which would get you more excited? Spending time reading the word or getting a $50,000 check in the mail? Which one's going to get you more excited? Now, let's be real about it. Probably on any given day, probably if you got a $50,000 check and you had a quiet time, you'd probably be more excited about the $50,000 check than the quiet time on that particular day. But David, listen to this. He says, the law for your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. That's how much he valued the scriptures. All right? Do you have that Psalm 119 attitude that David had? Psalm 119, verse 9. And there's so many. Just read Psalm 119 anytime you want. Psalm 119, verse 9. I'm just taking a couple of passages. We could look at so many more. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. Let's do Psalm 119, verse 136. I forgot that one. Psalm 119, 136. He said, streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. When David saw people not obeying the Bible, it just tore him. I just can't believe those people are not obeying the Bible. It drove him crazy because he honored the scriptures in that way. Psalm 119, verse 9. I've got streams of tears flowing from my eye, but it's because I got something in my eye. I wish it was because of, yeah. It's pretty bad right now. It's really bothering me, but. Anyway. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? How? By living according to your word. In order to live according to your word, you have to God's word, you have to know God's word. Amen? So point number one is what? In our outline?
Meditate on the word.
Nope.
Point number one of one?
Point number one of our outline.
Love God with all your mind, know the word.
Yeah. Love God with all your mind. All right. I don't think it's going to work, although I appreciate that. It's stuck up in there. Man, it's really bad. Anyway, amen. I love God's word enough to keep going even when it's painful. All right.
Let's go.
And so point number one is loving God with all your mind, giving serious mental energy on a regular basis, knowing the scripture, giving as much mental energy to that as you do to your studies, to your pursuit of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or whatever it is, making that a high priority. All right, point number two, having the David Psalm 119 attitude. Point number three, having a sense of adventure. All right? You know, to me, the Bible is like an infinitely deep well, and you'll never plumb the full depths of it. And you know, I've learned as much about the Bible in the last 5 years as any previous 5 years. And I've been studying it. I mean, I've written, 16 Christian books. You know, I kind of been studying it for a long time. And I'm convinced that I can't even possibly, even remotely begin to come to the full knowledge and understanding of the scripture. That's how deep the scripture is. So, again, I go back to that illustration about a marriage. If you do the same thing for 40 years in your marriage, you're going to have a boring marriage. So a lot of us, our quiet time is we have like a devotional book. We just pull out a devotional book, read the scripture of the day, and put it down and go on to our work, okay? And I'm telling you, if you always do the same thing, it's going to be boring. So I say, let's have a sense of adventure in our study of the scriptures. Teach somebody, write a lesson, get a commentary, think about things that you're not naturally prone to think about. All right? Like I said, what if you always did the exact same thing all the time in your marriage? You'd be bored, and then you would not really get anything out of it. Be open-minded. Be willing to read books, spiritual books. Be willing to read spiritual books even by people that you don't agree with. I believe that as Christians, we're part of a never-ending story. Whatever church you go to, whatever church you're part of, all right, that church is not perfect yet. And you are part of helping that group of believers become more like Christ. All right? It's a never-ending story. So ask questions. You know, why do we believe this? Why do I believe this? Why do we have this practice? Is this practice something that we have just because it's a tradition? Or is it something that's in the Bible? We need to learn to ask the right kind of questions. And thank you. I wish that was working, but unfortunately, it's something stuck in there. And I think I have to do something later. Anyway, I would say this. Don't assume that what you were raised with spiritually is true. Whatever church you go to, whatever you were taught, don't assume that it's true. All right? Keep learning. Keep adjusting. All right? Again, if you ate Wheaties every day, you'd be pretty bored. So we're part of a never-ending story. We need to be open-minded. We need to, like I said, we need to read books, spiritual books by people we agree with, and we also need to read spiritual books by people we don't agree with. And I learn at least as much by reading the books of people I don't agree with as by reading books by people that I do agree with. So point number three, have a sense of adventure. Do a variety. Okay? Number four. I'm sorry about that. Have a plan. Do you have a plan to understand and know God's word in detail? What's your plan? What are you going to do? Or do you just sort of, all right, there you go. Great. We're in Psalms today. Where did that come from? Or, you know, somebody else gives you a plan. You know what? It's better to have somebody else give you a plan than have no plan. But how about coming up with your own plan? All right? And I think we need to have a short-term plan, a medium-term, and a long-term plan. All right? So the short-term plan is, what am I going to be studying this week? The medium-term plan is, what am I going to be doing to acquire knowledge of the scriptures this month or the next 2 or 3 months? And the long-term plan would be, what am I going to do for the next 3 or 4 years? What's my plan? I developed a plan. It was starting about 8 or 10 years ago. I decided that I want to know every single book in the Bible in depth so that essentially I could pick up that book and without notes I could teach, you know, through that book. All right? And at this point, I'm about probably around 60% of the way through the Bible. Probably, I would say, close to 90% of the New Testament in depth so I could teach it, you know, at the drop of a hat. And probably about half of the Old Testament. All right? So that's a long-term plan. But if I'm going to have a long-term plan, I have to ask myself, well, great. So what books am I going to be studying in the next 3 months? Is it going to be Ezekiel? Is it going to be 1 and 2 Kings? All right? And by the way, if you want to know the Bible, you have to know not just the New Testament, you have to know the Old Testament as well.
Sure.
I say include variety because, again, if you always do the same thing, you're going to get bored. And if you get bored, you're going to get disinterested. And you're a human being. We're all human beings. So we need variety. Just like in a marriage, you need variety. So my suggestion is to try a few things. One thing you can do is just read the Bible. If you're going to read the Bible, you might even want to get one of these paraphrase versions. Possibly. Just read it. Kind of like you'd read a novel. And don't slow down. Just read it. Just to kind of get a feeling for what's going on. Another thing you can do is to spend a couple or even a few months reading a particular book. Let's say for the next 3 months, I'm going to nail the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. And so if you can do that, you're probably going to have to get a commentary. And you may get a more, like a popular commentary and then a more like a preacher's commentary, something like that. Study out a particular doctrine. I remember one time I was asked to do a lesson about predestination. I thought, why do you want me to teach a lesson? All right, sure. So I spent about 6 months. That's not the only thing I did in my quiet times. For about 6 months, I bought like 3 or 4 books on predestination. I bought books by people who thought predestination is false doctrine. I bought books by people who thought predestination is a correct doctrine. And then I taught that class. All right? Read other things. Read history. Read philosophy. Read about other religions. Learn about Islam. Learn about Hinduism. Learn about Buddhism. Do a variety of different things because I'm telling you, if you do that, you're going to grow in your knowledge of the scriptures. Plan for variety. I suggest keeping a journal, keeping track of your progress. Are you doing these things? Or you just, you know, you're a young Christian, all right? You're just going along, you know, happy-go-lucky. Just like a, I don't know, typical 18, 19-year-old guy. What are you doing in your life? I don't know. I'm playing computer games right now. Okay. Well, if you're a young Christian, okay. But it's time to have a plan. So I say have a plan, a short-term plan, a medium-term plan, and a long-term plan. Okay, got it? And then I want to give you a couple of practicals. How am I doing on time? Good. Practical number one, memorize scripture. How many people here have spent time memorizing scriptures? Okay, good. Excellent. The rest of you need to repent and start doing that. All right, memorize scriptures. And I mean, there are dozens and dozens of scriptures that I've memorized. Now, I'm 68 years old, so honestly, I don't do scripture memory anymore. My brain's kind of full, you know. So I don't, but when I was a younger Christian, I memorized stacks and stacks of scriptures. And if you're not really self-motivated, what you could do is you could form a little club, all right? I don't know, let's say, I don't know.
Memory club?
Yeah, Kevin, Miguel, and Andres can say every week we're going to learn two scriptures and we're going to test each other on it. You know, we're Sunday morning at church, something like that. I'm telling you, if you don't memorize scripture, then you can't meditate on scripture. And if you can't meditate on scripture, then you, it's not going to be like doing David's thing there. All right, point, another suggestion is learn how to study the Bible. Now, there's this big long word. It's called, see, it's up on the screen, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the sort of like the practical guide to how to learn to read the scripture to understand what it means. I'm going to say a little bit more about that. I'm going to put up another slide with a couple ideas on hermeneutics. In fact, you know what you might want to do? You're a young Christian. All right, probably, Kevin, not right now, but maybe 6 months from now, get an actual book on hermeneutics, which is essentially the science of studying to understand the actual meaning of the scripture. There's exegesis and hermeneutics, all that stuff. Don't worry about those big long words. All right, there's a person named Gordon Fee who wrote a pretty practical book, How to Study the Bible for All It's Worth. I suggest that one. Next, learn how to ask the right questions. A lot of times we read the scriptures, but we don't ask questions. All right, one suggestion is, what I just read, is that a command? Is that a principle? Or is that a practical example? If there's a command, what should you do with that command? Obey it. If there's a principle, what should you do with that? Apply, thank you, apply it. If there's a practical example, what should you do from that? Learn from it. He's doing great. Kevin's right back there. For example, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Is that a command or is that a principle? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. Is that a command or a principle? No, it's a principle. It's not a command. It's a principle. Some of you don't even know what a yoke is. All right, you're not tempted to be unequally yoked. It's a principle. The principle is this: the more tightly connected you are to a non-Christian, the more careful you should be about entering into that situation. All right? So one application would be probably don't marry a non-Christian. But that Bible, that scripture is not a command to not marry a non-Christian. Is there a biblical command for a Christian to not marry a non-Christian? By the way, do not be unequally yoked. That's in 1 Corinthians 5. Is there a biblical command that a Christian should not marry a non-Christian? Answer is, yes, there is. Where is that? In 1 Corinthians 7. All right, so that's just in understanding the scripture. One thing to begin to ask yourself is, what I just read, is that a command? And what do you do with a command? Obey it. Or is it a principle? What do you do with a principle? You apply it. You learn how to apply it in various situations because there's not a rule for everything. There's an infinite number of things in our life that there is no biblical command on. And if there's no biblical command on that, then what should we apply to that? We should apply a biblical principle. That's why it's important to know the difference between a biblical command and a biblical principle. And then there's also biblical examples. In fact, the Old Testament has a lot more examples than it has commandments or principles. All right, and we can learn the Bible, especially like 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, full of examples. All right, a possible assignment you could do is to read, let me see, 1st Samuel, I think it's, let me check, I think it's 1st Samuel 15. Yeah. Just a fun little assignment you could do for yourself if you wanted is to study out 1st Samuel 15, find a commandment in that chapter, all right, and then find a principle in that chapter, and then find a practical example in that chapter, okay? Another question I think it's useful to learn, again, in order to grow in our knowledge of the Scripture, we need to learn to ask the correct questions. Another question I suggest you learn to ask is that, let's assume that it's either command or principle, either way, is this an essential, an important, or an unimportant teaching? Okay? Are there unimportant teachings in the Bible? Yes, there are! For example, how old is the earth?
Oh, yeah. Well.
That is not important. I'm sorry, I know people, they base their entire Christian doctrine on the age of the earth, the whole young earth and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It is not important. Okay, what about the Nephilim? You know the whole Nephilim thing?
Yeah.
You know, what about the Nephilim? Not important. Okay. What are some examples of some essential doctrines? Zane. Okay. I'll go with that. An essential doctrine is one, if you get wrong, you go to hell. That's what I would, how I define an essential doctrine. An essential doctrine is one, if you get it wrong, you go to hell. All right? I would say the doctrine of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
The doctrine of how we're saved. Mm-hmm. Those are essential doctrines. There's a lot of doctrines that we really get into, but I'm not sure they're essential. For example, some Christians are really into all the gifts of the Spirit and practicing those things, those, you know, charismata. Other Christians don't even believe that charismata are even real. But I don't think our salvation is based on whether we believe or practice those charismata. So if that's true, then maybe we could just sort of let that one go. By the way, I probably should be careful because it's not my place. Honestly, this is a Christian club. So I gotta be careful here. It's really not my place tonight to tell you which are the essential doctrines, which are the important ones, and which are the literally not important ones. So I better stop right there before I get in trouble. But I would say that's another question to ask yourself as you're studying the Bible. All right? I think I'm pretty much done here. All right, yeah, I've got a little thing on hermeneutics. I wish I had time to go over that, but I don't. Jen? Oh, are you saying I should finish in 2 minutes? Yes, she's saying I should be done in 2 minutes. She notices it's 8:28. All right, so I'm gonna post this at my website and at the Merced Christian Church website. Some basic rules. Every passage has one meaning. The most obvious meaning is usually the correct one. Always let the author explain the meaning rather than somebody else. Always interpret a passage within the context of that passage, the book, the author, etc. Interpretation conform to, etc. Some basic rules. By the way, these are rules that have been worked out by Bible interpreters over the last 100, 200 years. All right? All passages on a subject should be studied. Observe the proper balance, etc. So, of course, we like to end our devotionals with a practical, fun little question to get in a group of three or four. All right. Sorry about that. Here we go. Question number one. Do you love God with all your mind? That's a rhetorical question. You do not have to give a yes or no answer. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit. And what do you propose to do in order to increase your knowledge of the scripture based on our lesson tonight? So let's get in groups. By the way, we're officially done. You can stay for 1 minute or 20 minutes or even half an hour if you want. But let's break up into groups of three or four and let's discuss these two questions. Okay? All right, I think I need... No, it's not pink eye. No, there's something in there. I can tell. So...
No, it's pretty goopy. When it's goopy, it's normally, it's pink. I don't see anything. Yeah.
There's something scratching my eye.
Is it in the bottom?
I'm pretty sure it's on the top. Maybe it's on the bottom.
No, it looks pretty goopy. I need to use the napkin.
Ugh. It's driving me crazy. Pink eye generally isn't painful.
Not really.
This is very painful. I admit I've got a lot of goop in my eye.
Yeah. That's generally. Make sure you watch what you touch and wipe it. That it's contagious. Very contagious.
It is. All right. Yeah, I'll head over to that group.